Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining in. This is the Between the Ropes podcast. Brian Fritz along with Michael Wiseman. We appreciate everybody for tuning in. We're actually doing this live. And by live, I mean we're doing a live video of this. We appreciate everybody who has subscribed recently to our YouTube channel. It's at youtube.com/between the ropes. If you haven't done it yet, just look right below and click on that subscribe button. Subscribe right now. Enjoy all the different videos that we put up during WrestleMania week. And you can also subscribe to the podcast. You can do it on iTunes, Stitcher, we're on Google Play, the TuneIn app, and on SoundCloud as well. Michael has made it back safely to North Kakalaki, where he has been sleeping, I believe, for the last 48 hours.
It is. First off, it's really weird to see you through. I think somebody's retweeting us. Yeah, there we go. We are live. Yes, we are live for the first time in a long time, Brian. It's really weird to see you through the screen because I'm so used to having you at arm length so I could just grab you and pull you in and give you a noogie whenever I wanted to.
Right.
But I did survive the trip back. Actually, on my flight back was one, Jeff Hardy. He looked pretty battered and beat up as of I came back Tuesday morning, of course, before the SmackDown Live taping. And I didn't want to bother him, but I did go over and give him a nice little knuckle bump and say, great job this weekend. You guys rock.
Did you tell him you're part of the Magi Nation?
With the Magi Nation?
Yeah,
oh,
man.
No.
Previous gimmick. Come on.
I did not go up to him and say, have you seen Brother Nero? That's what I should have done. But no, man, we came back and slept. Because we're both dog tired from that. The trip wears you out, dude. It's a lot of fun, a lot of energy. But WrestleMania weekend is an experience, and it will whoop your rear end if you're not careful.
Like I said before, check out all the different videos that we did, all the video interviews. We were a part of Radio Row, so there's a bunch of interviews with a lot of WWE talent. And also a killer video that Mike put up today of our Access experience. Mike went around and interviewed a bunch of fans as well, and we kind of gave a tour of Access while we're in there. So everybody can check out that video. It's now here on our YouTube page. And also, you can check out the podcast that we did from earlier in the week where we talked all about WrestleMania. That is up here on our YouTube page and is also on our podcast feed as well. So we are going to talk about Raw, SmackDown, everything post-WrestleMania here on the podcast. So we need to get back to normal here. And because of that, that means, Michael, what are you drinking tonight while we tape the podcast?
I do want to give, you know what I'm drinking? Let me get to that. Let me get the beer out of the way first. Most important thing. I've been drinking cheap beer all weekend long, Brian. You were there with me. You know, they had $8, $9, $12 Budweisers and Coors Light in the arenas. And if you wanted to really pony up, you could get a Heineken, but you got half as much. I've been drinking cheap beer all weekend long. Fritzy, you did have a nice mixed drink Monday night before Raw.
I was good and toasty before Raw started, which really put me in the festive mood.
We could not find you a Zima at the BTR meetup, but you did get a cider, I think.
Yeah, I had an Angry Orchard, yeah.
And I do want to give a shout out all the fans that came to that. We love seeing you guys. A lot of fun to hang out with some of you guys for the first time. We've seen your name, seen your faces. But yeah, tonight, to get back to normal, I got to go with the beer that is a little bit, we'll say, of an upgrade from the beers I had this weekend. I got to go with the beer in a can that is not a cheap beer. And I'm going to go back to New Belgium because you all know how much I love beers from New Belgium. This is one I've not had before, though. So this is the Voodoo Ranger 8-Hop Pale Ale. I am expecting something super duper bitter and super duper delicious. So let's see if I can do this without spilling it all over my keyboard. That's nice. And now to complete the trifecta, let's see if I can do the pour.
Oh, you'll screw this up. Come on.
Oh, look at this. Look at this.
Hey, here wise we go. I don't know, man.
Look at that head. Up. Oh, well, nope. A little bit too much. Oh, shoot. Well, that was close. It was close. We got a pretty good, it's a little bit too much head, but.
Yeah, you tried. Good effort there.
There's a joke in there somewhere.
By the way, I honestly, not that Mike does, but I rarely drink, quite honestly. So Monday night was quite the festive occasion that I did have a drink to put me in the right mood for the Raw following WrestleMania. If you thought that I was in good mood that night, though, Michael, you should have seen me before SmackDown because you were already out of town.
Right. Oh, wow.
So I went,
out of town, so you were in a good mood.
No. What I'm saying is you didn't experience this because you were already gone. So we actually, I say we, Myself and Nick Hausman from WrestleZone, we went over to Harry Buffalo before the show, and
well, were you actually at Harry Buffalo? I saw Tim tweeted me and said he met you there, and I was
I walked to Harry Buffalo, and Tim and his wife Angel were standing out right in front. So I was like, hey. So, and then Nick came over, and Nick was nice enough, and he bought me a drink. So I had a nice big cider, like 16-20 ounce cider. And then we went over to the arena to watch the show, and I had another drink because Pedro decided to buy me a drink. So I had another mixed drink like I had on Monday. So I was two drinks in for SmackDown on Tuesday.
Wow. Wow. That's some drinking right there for Fritzy.
For me,
I'll tell you
what. That's some drinking. And but you know, that put me in the right mood for SmackDown that night. So let's go back.
I want to say real quick before we get too far away, if you're looking for WrestleMania talk, not a whole lot of WrestleMania talk on this show this week because we did a podcast live together Monday. You should have seen it if you subscribe to us on iTunes or wherever. We also have an audio version up on YouTube as well. So if you want an in-depth look at what we thought about WrestleMania, please go find that different podcast. Also, if you are watching us live, which is the best way to do this right now, this is our super secret surprise live podcast. We have a live chat going as well. Pop in there on the YouTube page. You can chat with us. You can chat with other fans. I'm going to be manning that so you don't trash talk me too much or I'll kick you out. But you just so many ways to interact with us this week. Brian, I'm excited to be back live. I cannot express this enough. A ton of fun. And I'll let you take the lead again. It's your show. It's the Brian Fritz Show.
Sure, whatever. So, no, and let me reiterate that, too. For everybody that came out for our get-together this past weekend following NXT TakeOver, that was great. It was awesome seeing everybody, and we hope to do it again. Who knows? Maybe we will do it if we find ourselves in Brooklyn for SummerSlam. Mm. So hopefully we'll be able to do it again, but we do appreciate everybody that already came out. One other piece of business real quick. If you could support us on Patreon, that would be fantastic. You can go to patreon.com/betweentheropes. Anything that you feel comfortable with in helping us out and helping us keep doing what we're doing would be greatly appreciated. We are still working on the refurbished page and putting together some new tiers. If you have any ideas for us for what you would like to see when it comes to some of the different tiers or different things that we could provide for anybody that supports us on Patreon, feel free to hit us up. You can do it on Twitter. You can go at Between the Ropes. Or you can hit me up there. I'm at Brian Fritz. Michael is at The Real Wiseman. And feel free, even if you want, send it to us at our mailbag. It's btrmailbag@gmail.com. We always appreciate any kind of feedback that you might provide. And any kind of ideas that you have for the Patreon page would be great as well. So,
did you call it a refurbished Patreon page? I just want to jump in real quick.
I did. I called it refurbished.
Like it was good, and then we broke it. And so we're going to make it the same as it was before.
Or even better.
Okay. Okay.
Or even better.
I don't like that word. Refurbished.
It works. Trust me. Okay. It works.
Trust you. Okay. So, famous last words.
So let's talk about the WWE post-WrestleMania in all its glow. So you had a live Raw on Monday, the live SmackDown on Tuesday, both from the Amway Center in Orlando. It's always a unique crowd, especially for the Raw after WrestleMania, because you still have all these diehard, wrestling crazed fans are still in town and going to that show in particular. And this crowd was into it again. It was booing, beach balls, wild chants were all over it as well. I mean, those are kind of the things that stood out, especially when it came to the beginning of the show. Because even before the show began, crowds were already chanting against Roman Reigns. They were like pro-taker chants. It was an anti-Reigns chants. And then when the show began and Roman came out to start the show, crowd went nuts. And I believe it was 11 minutes straight of, you know, anti-Roman Reigns chants, booing him, Roman Reigns sucks, just go away, F you, Roman. I mean, it got nasty there for a while. And every time that it started to die down and Roman would lift the microphone, everybody would ramp up the booing again. And then finally, after 11 minutes, and I don't know if this was the plan all along or if this was just like, all right, let's just cut to the chase. He finally decided to talk and he said, "This is my yard now." And he dropped the mic and he walked off. It was beautiful. It was incredible to witness. If you watched it on TV, there was no censoring on the USA Network. So all the cursing and all the nastiness went through. I've never been a part of a scene like that. I mean, the amount of heat that that guy got, it was blistering. I mean, we need to put on sunscreen just to be in the building.
I knew we would see something really spectacular with Roman Reigns Monday night because of the reaction he received Sunday night. The fans in Orlando did not take to him and did not take to his match against Taker. And, of course, were even more pissed off at the end of that match since he basically retired Taker. He killed the dead man. He did the impossible, and he literally murdered the dead man. So
I don't think he murdered the dead man, but I think he retired him.
Well, let's just say murder. Let's be dramatic.
Can we put this to rest? Because I know there's some people that are out there. Undertaker is retired, okay? And this whole, how do you know he's not going to come back next year? I don't think the Undertaker would have gone through the whole symbolism of leaving his hat and leaving his gloves and doing everything that he did where he went down through the ramp to end if he was going to come back. I mean, in this business, I guess you could say never, but I would put it at about 99.9% certainty that the Undertaker has retired, because otherwise they wouldn't have gone through all of that. I mean, when you talk about that character and the man that plays that role, he's very, very protective of it.
Yeah.
You never see Undertaker appear on camera at the Hall of Fame. You never hear him talk, out of character when it comes to something that WWE is taping. So he's done. And, he is beat up. He's over 50 years old now. He has done anything and everything that he could for WWE in this business. He needs another hip surgery, and he is not coming back. That was his walk off to the sunset.
There was some talk after the show this weekend about the possibility that he had actually wanted to wrestle John Cena in his last match, and how that idea was vetoed by Vince McMahon in favor of putting Roman Reigns over. I do find that curious, because Vince McMahon kind of putting his nose in there and saying, this is what I think is best for the business, and taking away a potential dream match for Taker's last Mania. So kind of going back to Sunday, I question that logic, because I think the walk-off for Taker would have been so much better against John Cena than it was Roman. But what's done is done, and you're right, Brian. He's officially retired. You don't lay out your hat and your gloves and your jacket, unless you're Ric Flair. You don't lay out all of that for your retirement and do the walk-off.
Does it really count that Flair wrestled outside of WWE at that point?
Because Impact Wrestling doesn't count. And that was this is the truth. I saw this was a funny tweet today. A guy tweeted out and said, Impact Wrestling is considering changing the name of their mascot to F
the owl,
star. Yes.
Yeah.
F the owl. So that way they can just say every time people are chanting for him instead of chanting against him.
That's the name of their owl. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we all tried to name the owl. So the crowd on Monday was unique. It was boisterous. It was nasty at some points. Like I said, when it came to Roman, I think we all knew the kind of reaction that he was going to get, but for it to be that loud, that prolonged, I've never been a part of anything like that. I mean, you always hear these stories about, in the 70s and early 80s, especially the amount of heat that guys would get. Roman Reigns got incredible amount of heat. And I know that some people say, why don't they listen to the fans or booing him and everything? But you know what? The bottom line is fans are still reacting to Roman Reigns, and that's what WWE wants. They're not worried that if you're going to cheer him or not. All they care about is you are reacting. And you're still buying tickets. And both of those are happening. So it's not going to change the way that they portray Roman Reigns.
And the fact that they let this chant take place, I think that's what I was most surprised by, is instead of trying to cover it up, WWE let Roman Reigns revel in the moment. I think that's a really important distinction to make, because it seems like WWE has realized they're not going to be able to turn Roman Reigns from the reaction he's getting right now. So instead, they're just happy he's getting a reaction, and they're going to play off that. And that promo Monday night was practically a heel promo for the one sentence he said. That was a way to kind of say, middle finger in the air, screw you guys, it's my yard, whatever you say isn't going to affect me.
Now, he got one of the biggest reactions, probably the biggest reaction of the night. The Hardys, they got a very warm reaction as well. And the chants were flying in that one. It was delete, delete, delete.
F the Owl.
F the Owl actually started in the middle of that one. Yes. There was a Brother Nero was breaking out as well. And the Hardys, they were playing the same role that they did before in WWE. So basically the lawsuit is still going on, or there's the potential lawsuit is still there, where TNA is still not giving them the character. But if you follow Matt Hardy on Twitter, he's basically been saying, you never know when things can change. This is a long game. So he is still talking a little bit like broken Matt, but not enough to where he could be sued for it.
Sure.
And I think that they're still holding out hope that they can cut through all of this legal red tape, figure this out, and you could still see the broken universe in WWE. But right now, they have to kind of play along. He even said, like, hey, you know what? Since going to the WWE, it's kind of fixed my condition, you know? But and like I said, he's playing it up like, maybe it's fixed for now, but I don't know if it's a permanent fix. So he's found a little, you know, leeway there to do that. They even went on the on Raw, they did a post-game segment. And he was on there talking, and he was still kind of talking like Broken Matt. He was like in and out of it a little bit. So we'll see exactly where that goes. But Hardy's got a big reaction. They wrestled on Monday night. They won another match, beating Anderson and Gallows on that show.
I think it's a good spot for Matt Hardy, though. I really do like this because it keeps the fans guessing. We know that he is not full broken, but we're also not quite sure. And I think the hardcore fans are still looking. So they do the delete chant. They're like, well, is he the broken Matt Hardy? Are we going to see more of that? Is it going to be taken away from us? And he plays into it just enough. Matt is a master manipulator with this. He does the one arm thing and then he cuts it out. He still does the crazy smile and he cuts it out. So I just love the way he's screwing with the audience and their expectations of him right now in this role. So it's good with Jeff, on the other hand, playing it up straight, just being classic Jeff Hardy, running around doing his high bumps, you know.
And that's what people want to see from Jeff, too, you know. So, and by the way, even if we do get the Broken Universe, do not expect to see the term Spot Monkey in WWE.
That's, Spot Monkey.
I do not know if they will allow that terminology on their show. So, let's see. What else stood out from that show?
But can we? But I got to ask you, Brian. Yeah. I've been dreaming about this for years. Since 2008, 2009, can we finally settle our unfinished business between Jeff Hardy and CM Punk? Remember, CM Punk retired Jeff Hardy on that episode of SmackDown, where CM Punk gave Jeff Hardy one more chance. Remember, Jeff Hardy, being the bad influence he was against the Straight Edge Society, gave him one more chance to reclaim his WWE Championship in a steel cage match, and he could not do it, and Jeff Hardy agreed to leave the WWE.
He agreed to leave, but he also said afterwards, he cut a promo and said, I'm only saying goodbye for now, and I hope to be back someday. And
So CM Punk, this is your time to come back and just settle the score once and for all between you two.
I do not think we're going to see CM Punk anytime soon in the WWE.
I have to say, though, that was one of the things I was most impressed about this weekend. Some fans were saying, oh, CM Punk chants are going to be everywhere, especially after Monday when there were CM Punk chants. And every time a CM Punk chant popped up, whether it was NXT, whether it was at WrestleMania, or even whether it was on Monday Night Raw with the Bizarro World crowd, those CM Punk chants were quickly shut down by the audience. There would be a nest of people chanting those, and the rest of the audience would either boo or say, shut the F up, in the case of NXT Saturday night. So the CM Punk chants were not over at all this weekend, and in fact, it seems like they're kind of going away.
I hope so, you know. But remember, the next Raw pay-per-view on May 21st, which is, I believe, Payback, that's in Chicago. So I can only imagine the possibility of CM Punk chants that are going to be going on there. So,
well, they're always going to exist in Chicago. I mean, right. That's the one kind of nebulous area where you'll always have CM Punk chants. But the rest of the universe seems to be finally moving on.
So we got to see, I thought one of the best things on the show, quite honestly, was Vince McMahon got in the ring and was just, he was playing up to the crowd and everybody was singing along to No Chance in Hell. And then he got mad at the crowd for being bloodthirsty because they liked it when they watched his daughter Stephanie go flying through a table at WrestleMania, and she was going to be out for a while. And you know, they had to name a new GM because they didn't have a GM either. And Teddy Long came out, And that was hilarious, man. I mean, everybody, we just kind of looked, we were like, because we were all waiting for Kurt Angle. Like, the cat was already out of the bag. We were waiting for it. Then Teddy Long comes out, and everybody's like, oh my God, you screwed with us, man. You got us. And Teddy's just up there and dancing and everything. And finally, Vince goes, sorry, Teddy, it's not you. And Teddy didn't get it at first, but then he just started dancing again and just danced to the back. So that was hilarious.
Holla, holla, holla.
Yeah.
Holla, holla, holla. The crowd loved it, too. That crowd ate it up. They loved that last little guest appearance.
It was fantastic. I really love that, man. That was really good stuff. But then Kurt Angle came out. Well, it took three tries. Vince goes, let's bring out the new GM. He's also in the Hall of Fame. Oh, it's Kurt Angle. And then the music hit, and Kurt came out and just came in the ring and said, oh, it's true. It's damn true. And walked to the back. But I think when you talk about the happiest people all weekend long when it came to WWE and WrestleMania, Kurt was right there among the top three people that had to be the happiest of anybody in the company.
Yeah, he was beaming electricity and energy all weekend long in that really positive way. He had a smile every time you saw him. He just seemed so genuinely enthused to be back with World Wrestling Entertainment, or WWE as we call it nowadays. And I think that's a testament to where he's been in his career since he left the company 15 years ago, or however long it's been, 10 years ago. And what he's accomplished since then. But knowing, as everybody says, when they make it back to this spot in their career, kind of close to the twilight of their career, knowing that he's back home now. And I think he receives that. You saw the same thing from the Hardys. They said, we're back home. This is where we wanted to be. And these wrestlers leave a lot of times for very valid reasons. You know, Kurt Angle was in a very bad spot whenever he left. He's coming back, though, a different man. And he's not in ring yet, as far as being a competitor goes, but he's back in the family, and WWE means so much to these guys because their friends are there. They have longtime connections. You saw the clip with Vince and Kurt getting a big hug the first time he came back. So again, really special, and it feels right. Kurt Angle being back in this company feels right, and so I'm glad we're here. I'm glad it's happened.
Oh, absolutely. And the thing too, when it came to Kurt, was they did a couple of backstage segments, a couple of comedy segments. His timing is impeccable. It's like, yes, he never left. I mean, it's like Kurt Angle right there. Like, you know, he's having this conversation with Enzo and Cass. And then, you know, Big Cass does the S-A-W-F-T. And he walks off and Kurt goes, he can't even spell soft right. That's not how you spell soft. You know, so, I mean, there's fun stuff that he did. And, I mean, the guy knows how to play it up. And, you know, like you said, it's great seeing him back in the family. I will stick with my prediction. I think we're going to see Kurt wrestle, but not until SummerSlam.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
And, I mean, the other couple of things that, you know, were big on the show. So, oh, and by the way, we had Beach Ball Mania. So, here's the thing. I didn't realize this. I'm sure they were doing it on Monday night. So, at one point, I think it was like four or five beach balls going during Raw. So, yeah, there was a lot of beach balls going, and they were getting popped or whatever. And I felt bad for the match with Mustafa Ali and Neville, because people were chanting Beach Ball Mania during that one. Mm-hmm. But
that match did not click with the live audience at all. I don't know what it was, because both men poured their heart into it. Even the, I loved Neville almost doing his finisher and then saying, nah, the classic heel move, and going in for the submission. That was beautiful. But the live audience just wasn't quite there because of everything else.
SmackDown. So here's the thing. So we were walking to the building for SmackDown, and like right across the street, like, or like a block away, there was a guy standing there and he was selling beach balls. Okay. He was like, man, you going to the show, you got to get yourself a beach ball. So, I mean, he was selling beach balls for like $5 or something, like super cheap. And they were pouring out at SmackDown. I mean, there was a bunch of them. I mean, the chants didn't get going like they did on Monday, but that's why there were so many damn beach balls, because now we had people bringing them on their own from home. But there was people outside the building selling beach balls. So,
it was great, though. I loved it because the beach balls were so over. You would see them come down from like the top section. I don't know where they were coming from, but there kept being more of them funneled into the audience. And the crowd would, every time they'd get bumped up, go, yeah. And then if they would fall down into the area where like the sports teams come out, because they knew security would get them there, boo, right? And those beach balls were so over. Or if security, because for whatever reason, security was coming to get them and pop them, which flies in the face of WWE basically playing up the fact that this Raw after Mania crowd loves beach balls.
But here's the thing about that, though. Okay, so security was getting them. But yes. You know who wasn't getting them? WWE. Because on SmackDown, a couple of them got down to the floor. And WWE personnel, they were throwing them back in the crowd. They're
interesting.
Like, keep going, man.
Yeah. Well, and so the crowd would cheer whenever somebody would bat the beach ball away from the security people. So that was fantastic. But the security people in Orlando are serious. They tried to stop Gronk. They're like, I don't care if you are a worldwide celebrity. Gronk, you're going down. Beach balls, you're going down. We're taking down everything with us.
So the other things, I guess, from Raw that stood out. We talk about this crowd, you know, and how it can be tough. Because, you know, they'll interrupt matches, they'll do their own thing sometimes, like the Beach Ball Mania. But they also will create moments for these post-WrestleMania Raws. And that's what they did during Sheamus and Cesaro. And it's something that continued a bit the next night on SmackDown. But I'm going to be very curious to see what happens next week on Raw with Sheamus and Cesaro. Because the chants for those two guys were incredible. And it wasn't like a one-time thing. Like, they kept going and going and going. And Cesaro was playing into it. And then Sheamus started playing into it. You know, do-do-do-do-do, Sheamus and Cesaro. And then...
do-do-do-do-do, yeah.
And it just kept going and going and going. And it became a thing. And, like, when they won the match, it was a huge thing. And you could tell that was, like, that's a moment. I mean, that's, yeah. like what happened with Fandango. It was like, this is a moment. And if crowds can keep doing that... You never know where that could take them. I mean, they're already in a solid position, especially in the tag team division. But something like that, and if the crowd keeps it going, that's telling them we're into these guys. We're going to keep doing these chants. And it's going to keep putting them in a great position and, you know, keep them, you know, at least at the top of the tag team division.
Those chants helped really get Fandango over. He's not in the same spot anymore. But initially, really helped propel him to a new place. And I think... seeing those on Monday night for Cesaro made me really happy. Also because Cesaro played into it so fantastically. He was encouraging the crowd to do it. He knew it could help him and Sheamus, but really him, who's somebody who's kind of struggled on the main roster with proving to Vince and the powers that be, that not Vince Russo, but the other powers that be, that he is... in fact, an over guy. He really played into the audience chants here, knowing it could take them to that next level or the next echelon. And so it was really fun just to see him and Sheamus out there dancing Monday night at ringside. And the crowd loves those guys. I'm not going to say they love Sheamus. I know a lot of people really like Sheamus, and I tend to think he's underrated by a lot of the press and a lot of the media and a lot of the critics. But it was exciting to see them kind of click. As somebody who thought this team would never last, the crowd being into them is perfect, and it makes me really happy.
We also got Finn Balor back on Raw, and it was...
I called it. I called the angle right when it happened. I said, this is what they're going to do. High five, Wiseman.
Well, I had thought all along that Joe was going to take out Jericho, but I thought it was going to be maybe to write Jericho off TV. Instead, they just wrote him off for the match. But the second that they did it, and they said there's going to be a replacement, everybody in the building knew Finn, and like the chant started, and then... when it came time for the main event, it was Finn. So let me ask you this thing, okay? Because we all want to see Finn back, right? And it's great seeing Finn back. However, there is a question about how they brought him back from the standpoint of him teaming with Seth Rollins. So Seth Rollins is the man that injured him. So while Seth lost his championship to Finn, you know, last SummerSlam, right around there, it was, you know, in that match where Finn got injured, where he had to relinquish his championship, but yet he comes back and there's no talk about that whatsoever, that Seth is the one that put him on the shelf. There's no talk about, well, Finn, you know, lost the championship he had to forfeit the championship. He didn't really lose the championship. There's no talk about that. And, you know, Finn and Seth are hanging out like they're best friends. And even at the end of the match, Seth Rollins is holding up Finn's arm going, yay, look at this guy. He's back. How excited are we? And there was no continuity when it came to the storyline or the things that happened when Finn got injured last year.
Yeah, that's kind of the complaint I've had since the beginning. I know we saw them together on Instagram, you know, being in the same place, giving the thumbs up. We've seen the pictures. But from a storyline standpoint, I'm not buying it. I would think Finn would still have some issues with Seth Rollins, or at the very least, Seth Rollins would have had a moment where he said, my bad, are we cool? And they did the whole handshake thing before the match. Kind of ignoring it like they did, basically not addressing it at all. makes me a little more dubious on the whole idea and the way they did it together. But on the other hand, it was a good spot for Finn and a great way to bring him back with a lot of momentum. My question is, did somebody call him up and say, hey, Finn, can you come to the arena tonight just in case we need an extra wrestler on the roster? We know you haven't been on WWE television in months,
Mike,
but we'd love to have you here just in case.
I've got this explained, okay?
Okay, okay.
You know, they just happen to be in Orlando. Well, Finn lives in Orlando. So when Jericho got injured, Kurt called him and said, hey, Finn, I know you only live about 20 minutes away from the building. Can you get over here lickety split? I know you've been looking for an opportunity to come back, and I got just the opportunity for you now. So grab those boots, grab those tights, and come on over, buddy. And he whisked his way right over there just in time for the main event.
Brian, I stayed with you this weekend, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we drove around Orlando quite a bit, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so from where I'm going to assume Finn lives,
mm-hmm.
it would have taken him the entire show of WrestleMania to make it to that damn arena.
No.
All that traffic.
The traffic was fine going to the arena. That was never really the problem. The traffic for us was getting
Monday
to and leaving WrestleMania.
What are you talking about? Monday night, we sat in traffic for like 30 minutes trying to make it downtown.
Well, from where I live, it takes me about 30 minutes. It took like an extra 5-7 minutes. So, but you know what? Nobody's driving around that area then because the show is already going on. He doesn't have to worry about those 10, 15,000 people that are all coming to the show. They're already there. So the streets are empty and he can just make his way right over there really quick.
Do you reckon he just walks down these empty streets doing his whole...
That'd be great.
What he does, he just walks around. Yes.
Sure, why not? So it was great seeing Finn back. And, you know, they put him in this match. I assume they're going to put him in a pretty high-profile match right off the bat. Like, I think we could see Finn against Kevin Owens. And then Seth Rollins probably against Samoa Joe when it comes to the Raw side of things. And, you know, and we'll get to this here in a couple of minutes, but that... That, you know, also depends on whether or not all four of them stay on Raw, because we're going to get a superstar shake up next week. So we're going to be
shaking
things
up. You and I basically called out and said, this is not, before the show, we said, we're not going to get any call ups because, superstar shake up happening, or that means they're going to save everybody for that.
Well, we did one call up, though. We got the Revival.
Right. Well, we didn't assume that, though. We said Monday night, with a superstar shakeup potentially happening in the coming weeks, they're going to wait and do call-ups later, some point later.
Right. Well, here's the thing, though. You know, we didn't know this because they didn't explain it during Raw. But the next day on WWE.com, they explained this whole thing. They never once said draft when they explained the rules of the superstar shakeup. They said there's going to be trades and deals and stuff like that. So it just sounds like you're going to trade this guy and I'm going to trade that guy. And there's going to be some moving of the pieces, but it was never like, we're going to draft the whole thing. It's going to be like, all right, so five talents from each brand are going to be flip-flopping. Something along those lines is the way that I think they're going to do it. But it's, I mean, and there still could be some NXT call-ups as a part of this, I'm sure. Or maybe they're not even going to be part of the superstar shakeup. They just happen to come up, you know? So I would expect maybe a couple more people. But, you know, when it comes to the rules of this thing, it's not like they're doing this huge draft, you know, and everybody's going to be going. It's just a little thing to shake things up. And I think they'll do the draft again, like in June or July.
Do you think you do think we'll get a draft later on this year?
Yeah, I think we will, because it helps with the ratings.
Okay.
You know, they just want to freshen a couple of things up right now. And who knows? Maybe I'm dead wrong. Maybe they'll keep this until, you know, through WrestleMania next year. But, you know, they want to get something to kind of freshen up the talent on each roster, especially because they burn through matches so quickly on TV. So, you know, they're going to be moving some guys around, you know. And
sure.
But we got the Revival on Monday. They faced the New Day. They beat the New Day. It was a really, really strong debut for those guys. They even injured, was it Kofi Kingston that they injured? So,
right, yeah.
So no, it was great. It was a great debut for the Revival, and I'm glad that they finally got called up.
And I think the Raw is the right fit for them. There are some great teams on there, some potential matchups that could be pretty epic, I feel like. A New Day, obviously, was a great way to put them out there against somebody very different from them. So, yeah, it's exciting. It's an exciting place to be. I want to note real quick, if you are watching, if you're not listening, because this will mean nothing to you, but if you are watching us live right now, we do have a live chat going on if you're on the YouTube page. So make sure you click on through to our YouTube page and watch us there, and you can be in the live chat.
And you can ask your questions there as well. We'll get to those coming up here. So let's go over to the SmackDown side of things, where that was the night of big debuts. So going into that, I think a lot of people expected Shinsuke Nakamura to make his debut. That was the buzz all day long. We were going to get Shinsuke. And that's exactly what happened. I feel vindicated because I've been saying for like the last 4 to 6 months that Shinsuke was going to get called up the night or right after WrestleMania, and he was going to be on the SmackDown brand. And somehow I was right. So I was very happy about that. I think that's the brand he fits on the best too. And that was quite the debut because you had The Miz and Maryse dressed as John Cena and Nikki Bella doing their thing in the ring, which was fantastic.
Hilarious. Hilarious.
And from where we were sitting, we were in this press area that was kind of high up, and we're sitting there, but we could see the ramp and everything. And out of nowhere, our good buddy Pedro turns to me and he goes, "So why is there a guy in a white jacket standing on the ramp?" And I hadn't noticed yet. I kind of looked over and I like immediately stood up. I was like, "Ooh, I know what this is." And about 20 seconds later, he started to play the violin.
Perfect way to introduce Shinsuke to the broader audience. That violin is so iconic for him. That music is so iconic. And it's the kind of thing that we were there in Brooklyn. It gives you chills when you see it the first time.
Yeah, it does. I mean, it was that Lee England Jr. that plays, and he's a world-renowned violinist. And, man, it was... You want to talk about these incredible introductions. That was one of them. I mean, just to have him there to play his intro, and then for... People were already going crazy when he played, and then when he stopped and Shinsuke's music actually hit, that place exploded.
Yeah.
And, you know, he came out, didn't have to say anything, but he did his thing in the ring where he kind of stood there, he did his pose and everything, and it was incredible, man. I mean, the amount of tension that guy has, he's a top guy right off the bat. I mean, he is sure. A top guy. And, you know, it's about time that he got called up. I'm quite certain that, you know, all his fans wanted to see him. It felt like he was getting a little frustrated, and maybe I was just looking into it a little bit more. But when I saw him come out on Saturday at TakeOver for his match against Bobby Roode, I felt like he had a little bit of life back in his step again. And I thought that's because he knows. He knows that this is his final match in NXT. And he was another one of the guys that you saw him over the last few days. You could not remove the smile from his face. Like sure. He was, especially when at the NXT TV tapings, they did a special goodbye to Shinsuke. And that dude was so, so happy to, and he gave this heartwarming, heartfelt speech to the audience there. And man, but he was happy that he was getting this opportunity. He was finally moving. So
are we to assume that he's not actually feuding with The Miz, though? Because to me, that was setting up a feud with The Miz, and they didn't really touch on that at all.
That's the question. They left that very open-ended. I mean, if they really wanted to, I guess they could switch him over to Raw. I don't think that's happening. I think he's going to stay on SmackDown. But that's something that they could do very easily. I mean, they could do that. I don't know for a fact that they are, because he did interrupt The Miz and Maryse, but I honestly wouldn't be surprised if that's exactly what they did. I mean, they didn't flat out say it, so they could go in a different direction, but they could do that, which I can only imagine some people going, "Dear God, you've got Shinsuke Nakamura on the main roster and you start him out with a feud with The Miz," which to me, quite honestly, makes a lot of sense, because that's another guy that Miz can trash talk, and Shinsuke, speaking broken English and being Japanese, he's a man of few words. He's a guy that will take all the talking in and will respond with action.
I agree with that sentiment, but I struggle with the idea that The Miz is going to come off this hot feud with John Cena, lose to John Cena on the biggest stage of the year, and then feud with Nakamura. And you have to assume that Nakamura's first feud on the main card, or on the main roster, I should say, is going to be something he can win, because you want to help him get over a little bit more with the fans. So I'd really struggle to see The Miz lose to John Cena and then lose to Nakamura, because I think he's in line for a title run this year. And those two losses, again, I know wins and losses don't matter, but those two losses would really hurt The Miz's stock in some ways.
It would hurt The Miz's stock, and you're right, when it comes to Shinsuke, he needs something right off the bat where he wins, and it's against somebody that's a pretty good name. It doesn't have to be the biggest name, but it's somebody that has to have some respect and some trusted name value. The other debut that I was talking with friends that day, and there was some rumors out there, maybe there was going to be another debut. And while we were watching the show, when Curt Hawkins came out and he grabbed the microphone, I turned to some other people and I go, "We're getting a debut here. And I know exactly who it is." And I just gave the symbol. And
10.
When Curt Hawkins just said, "Hey, I've got an open challenge, everybody in the back, and I'm going to give you to the count of 10, and boom, the music hit. And here came Ty Dillinger. Ty came out. He looked awesome. That guy was beyond happy. Beyond happy. He was, when I talk about the three guys that are probably the happiest all weekend from WWE, it was Kurt Angle, Ty Dillinger, and Shinsuke Nakamura. And I think Ty might have been the happiest of everybody. But
you could see that on Talking Smack. He was beaming. He was talking about the moment, how special it was, how he'd been working so hard. He's been working for years to be in this position.
15 years.
Yeah.
And
wow.
If you saw the video that they did immediately after the match, I mean, he was in tears. You know, talking to WWE.com. I mean, they put that video up, and I mean, this guy has busted his ass. I mean, this is his second time with WWE, and like the first time he was on ECW television, and like they immediately like did nothing with him. And a lot of people even forget that when he was, you know, Sean Spears or Davin Spears, but you know, he left and came back to WWE, but was with NXT, and he has been waiting for this moment. And Perfect 10 gimmick came along. It was something that he had the idea for. They cultivated it. He was a heel. People liked him so much, though, he became a babyface. And now he's getting his moment 15 years into his career. And it was really something special. And, you know, I'm very curious to see what they're going to do with Ty, because he's not going to be a guy that, they're going to use to put other people over. I think he's going to be put in a really good position. And I'm not going to say that he's going to have a world championship run his first year, but you know, if people play into the gimmick the way that they have, and he is a good enough worker, and I think he's a good enough talker, you know, he's at least going to be like IC title range. And I could really see, you know, if things fall a certain way, that, you know, he could be a world champion in that company.
I disagree. I have nothing against Ty. I think Ty is a great worker. I think Ty has a solid gimmick. But I almost wonder if his gimmick is too gimmicky. And I'm going to contrast him with a couple of other superstars right now. You have somebody like Tyler Breeze. You have somebody like Fandango. You go back to Adam Rose. These guys who come up with really solid gimmicks, who the gimmick almost gets over ahead of the star, and it hurts them to a certain extent. I think Ty with the 10, it's great. The fans love to chant it. I don't think that means he himself is over. Nakamura is over. He has the skills. He brings that to the table. He has fantastic matches. But the fans identify Ty with the 10 chant more than they identify Ty with his work rate or his match artistic flair. And so I really worry. Not that I don't think he's not a talent. I think Ty Dillinger is a huge talent. But I worry about his ability to translate to the main roster and not get lost in the shuffle of everybody else. Maybe he has a good mid-card run. Maybe he doesn't. I'm not convinced yet he is a next top-tier talent.
Well, that's why I say, like, I think right now he's definitely a really good mid-card guy. And the chips have to fall in the right spot. But Here's the things I think he has going for him. I mean, he is a really good worker. And that's why, like, even when, like, you know, Seth Rollins came back from injury and they wanted to get him back in the ring and get some of that rust off, they put him in there with Ty when it came to different workouts and stuff. When there's other guys that they're, you know, looking at, you know, they put him in there with Ty. He has had a killer match. I'll give this away. Spoiler. Sorry, everybody. I won't say exactly what happened, but he did have a match at the NXT TV taping. So we'll air on NXT television here in the next few weeks. And I think his work rate is good enough. The difference between himself and a guy like Tyler Breeze is size, because Ty is a much bigger guy, and Tyler obviously is not a huge guy. So I think he's going to be in a good position. And then if he continues to get over with that crowd, or stay over with that crowd, I think he could be. Just we'll have to see how things go. I can give this away. So like when I was working on this piece for the Orlando Sentinel a couple of months ago, I went over to the Performance Center and I was talking with Matt Bloom. It was after the Rumble, and Matt Bloom is, you know, the head trainer over there at the Performance Center, Tenzai. And while we were talking, I was telling him about how about that pop that Dillinger got at the Rumble. And he specifically went on this little conversation about that guy has a great gimmick, but that gimmick is going to help him get to the main roster, but his talent is what's going to keep him there and keep him in a great position.
Okay.
And, you know, we'll see how that plays out. I mean, it just, a lot of it depends on fan reaction and everything. I mean, it would be unique from the standpoint that he was not a NXT champion, and he was in a good position in NXT, but never the top position. And to have that kind of role and then somehow catapult that to a larger position in WWE, I think would be pretty unique. So we'll see exactly what happens.
Also, what happened to his alien vest? I love the alien vest. Where did it go?
That might be saved just for pay-per-views. I don't know. But he didn't have the alien vest, no. And that's the way it's always kind of been. Like, the alien vest is just for the, you know, the pay-per-view events.
Ah, bah. He should have brought it out in his debut.
I call that his Mars Attacks vest.
It's true. It's, he needs it. He needs it out there on SmackDown. But what we need. More alien vests.
I love the passion that guy has, man. I mean, that dude cares so much. He's worked so hard to get to that moment. So we'll see what happens with him. Let's see. What else happened on SmackDown that was really big? I mean, we got to talk about the other return. Eric Rowan is back, everybody. And he's back to losing matches right off the bat. He came back and he immediately lost. They did have Baron Corbin beat Dean Ambrose in a street fight, but it was a non-title match. And then we also had a rematch between Alexa Bliss and Naomi for the Women's Championship. And Naomi retained. So let's talk a little bit about the Superstar Shakeup. So,
You missed the AJ Styles practically turning face moment.
He did.
Practically turning face.
So, AJ shook Shane McMahon's hand and gave him the respect, even though Shane gave him quite the shiner on the left eye. But they shook hands. Then Shane was walking away, turned around and acted like he was going to punch Shane. And was like, ha-ha, fooled you. So it kind of kept the edge on him. But he said he respected Shane McMahon, and they shook hands and they parted ways.
Yeah, it was an interesting segment from the perspective that AJ Styles has been really over for quite some time now, and this feud with Shane almost felt like Styles was the good guy and Shane was the bad guy. But I liked it. It was well played. It's one of those moments where it protects Styles without making him look too weak. It gives Shane a little bit of a nudge. And I really do feel like AJ Styles is poised to be the biggest face in the company moving forward. You talk about Roman Reigns being the guy, but AJ Styles has earned the status of the guy without all of the upper-ups pushing him. So I think AJ Styles is going to be your big moneymaker in the coming year, and I expect to see him maybe on Raw and maybe with a championship run coming sometime soon.
Well, that's the thing that ties into the shakeup that they're going to be doing. So it sure felt like a goodbye when it came to AJ Styles to the SmackDown brand. So he could be one of the big names that moves from SmackDown to Raw. Now, who would go from Raw to SmackDown? That would be a big enough name to kind of replace AJ. Now, mind you, they just got Shinsuke. They did get Dillinger as well, but you would think there's got to be a pretty big name going back. You know, there's been talk for the last couple of months that maybe they would just exchange Roman and AJ. I don't think that's happening, though. I think AJ is going to Raw. I do not think Roman is moving. I think they're going to start a feud with him and Braun Strowman. That's all going to be on Raw. And Lesnar's obviously staying. They're not going to switch the champions. But I don't know who would go back that would be a pretty big star from Raw over to SmackDown. Now, when it comes to the women, I think that Charlotte is headed to SmackDown. I think Alexa Bliss is headed to Raw. I think that for a brief minute, we're going to think that the club is back together. But then I think Anderson and Gallows are going over to SmackDown. So they'll not be reunited with AJ. There's been some talk maybe New Day would go over to SmackDown, but to me that doesn't make sense because they just started a feud with the Revival.
Sure.
So I think they will stay. I could see Enzo and Cass as another tag team maybe moving over to SmackDown. I don't know if they would move two of them, but I could see that as well. I'm still kind of at a loss. I'm trying to figure out what major single star could possibly move from Raw to SmackDown.
I know you said you don't see this, but Roman Reigns, I think, is a potential fit. But Vince loves him so much, he's probably not going to move him over to SmackDown.
Yeah.
I think you could see somebody like Finn or even Seth Rollins move over. I think Finn's a good fit. Finn is the kind of guy that would benefit from that roster. A feud between him and AJ would be fantastic. It would be money.
Here's one that I would look at, okay, that kind of fits the bill to me. Now, mind you, they've already announced a match between Jericho and Kevin Owens at the next Raw pay-per-view, right?
Sure.
Now, if they really wanted to, they could say, well, that match isn't happening because Jericho's injured, right? Maybe I'm just going out on a limb here. I think Kevin Owens would be the right fit to actually go over.
Kevin Owens would benefit from that roster and that storytelling team. Plus, he could have some feuds. AJ Styles, if Styles is a face.
Kevin Owens would go to SmackDown. AJ Styles would be on Raw.
Oh, gotcha. I follow you now. Yeah, you could still have some great matches. I wonder, because there are so many... Like, The Miz is a really good heel over there.
Right.
I guess he would fit the spot that AJ Styles had before Styles left.
Well, it would be you could match Kevin Owens against Shinsuke Nakamura. You could match Kevin Owens against Randy Orton. You've still got Bray Wyatt as a heel.
Well, I guess that's my big pushback, though, is Bray Wyatt occupies a similar space in my mind to the kind of heel that Kevin Owens might bring over to SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you would need to tweak that a little bit. But
you'd have three pretty big heels, because you'd have The Miz, you'd have Kevin Owens, and you'd have Bray Wyatt on that brand. So maybe that's too much. I don't know. I was trying to think about that. Like Finn, maybe that would be the fit. But it feels like him and Kevin Owens are going to be paired. Well, but they're also doing, you know what? You're right. Finn does make the most amount of sense, because if they do go forward with the Kevin Owens Jericho match, then what's Finn going to do? Okay. So he's kind of wide open if you look at it from that perspective.
Right.
And Jericho's probably leaving after the next pay-per-view, but there's going to be enough guys there. Then they could do Kevin Owens against AJ Styles at that point. And you could move Finn over. So yeah, I think Finn is probably the right guy when you start shaping it up like that. So we could be getting The Miz either against Shinsuke Nakamura or against Finn Balor.
I would love to see both those feuds. I mean, there's still a part of me, too, that based off our interview with Samoa Joe this weekend, I'd still love to see Samoa Joe come over. I think that feud would be money, The Miz versus Samoa Joe. But
oh, my God, he would murder him.
Well, potentially.
But they're both heels, though. They're both heels right now.
Somebody in the chat room suggested that they should move... They need somebody on Raw to match Lesnar, that he's the new Universal Champion. I think they can work around that with a lot of ways. Finn is a good matchup for Lesnar on Raw. But Finn versus The Miz would be fun. I don't think it's quite as exciting as The Miz versus Nakamura. That is a feud that could get me through this summer, and I could be a very, very happy man. And I hope if they do it, maybe they just split the wins and losses. The Miz wins one, Nakamura wins one, and we don't even have a tiebreaker.
Dude, don't even talk about it like that, because if the second that The Miz beat Shinsuke Nakamura, oh my God. If you thought Roman was getting a lot of heat right now, people are going to be just raging pissed. Okay. How dare
people
you?
People will be raging pissed about anything, though.
Yeah, I know. You know what we didn't get this week, though, when it comes to a call-up? We did not get the Drifter. We didn't even get his alter ego, El Vagabundo.
El Vagabundo.
Which was fantastic, man. I want to get a t-shirt that says, El Vagabundo is numero uno.
That's fantastic.
Or it says, es muy bueno.
Oh, my gosh.
I would love to make that shirt. But there was a lot of talk that the Drifter is coming up to the main roster. And do not be surprised if we see him on Raw or SmackDown. There was even some
talk.
Why? Hey, man, that guy gets some heat, man. He gets some heat. There was also talk about Andrade Cien Almas coming up, which Don't know where the fit is for that right now, but maybe.
I just feel like they're losing the spirit of NXT. The NXT needs to take guys like both the Drifter, lots of guys still who are down there, actually, but especially the Drifter, and work them into a better position before sending them up.
Well,
and Andrade as well.
You could say the same thing when it came to like what they did with Dillinger. Look at Alexa Bliss. She was never on a takeover. She never challenged for the women's championship, but yet they put her up on SmackDown, and she's been great. She's been great since she's joined the main roster. So, you know, Baron Corbin was on takeovers, but I don't think he ever got a world championship spot. He definitely didn't on takeover.
But you could take somebody, Alexa Bliss being the exception, you can take somebody like Baron Corbin and say, Baron Corbin was ready for that spot for the most part. Maybe. I'll look back on it. Hindsight is 2020, right? Who knows what I said a year ago? Maybe I didn't feel like he was. But seeing where he is now, I feel like he must have been ready because he's embraced it. Some of those other guys, not quite yet.
So what other guys and gals do you think could switch brands? And mind you, I said the Charlotte one, okay? Charlotte and Alexa Bliss. When we talked to Charlotte last week, I told her, what would it be like to be on the same brand as your bestie, Becky Lynch? I feel like that could happen now. And we have put that idea into WWE's mind. Uh-huh. And she owes us one because we know they listen to us. They take ideas from us, which we are more than happy to share for them for free. And I think Charlotte will be indebted to us.
Charlotte could wind up on SmackDown. It is very likely. That women's division needs a strong anchor. It's had Becky Lynch in the past. I think Becky Lynch will stay there. I think Alexa Bliss is still a good fit for that show. Naomi obviously has kind of risen up, but bringing over Charlotte gives that brand an extra depth with a big name that it hasn't had in the past. And so I think you move her over and you open up the tables for Sasha versus Bayley on Raw, with the potential that when Asuka comes up, Asuka has a role against those two women. So Charlotte's a good choice. I don't really see a lot of the other women moving over. I think the rosters are kind of set. I could see at some point, though, Alexa Bliss moving over to Raw if they don't want to turn Sasha heel.
So that's what I'm saying. I think Alexa's going to Raw and Charlotte is going to SmackDown.
So you think they're going to trade spaces?
Yes, absolutely.
You're hard to follow today. I don't know. It's not the same.
Well,
I've
said it two times time that I think Charlotte's going to SmackDown and Alexa Bliss is going to Raw.
I'm just used to being with you, Brian. It's not my fault. I don't pick up on your cues as much.
Do 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 do. Charlotte's going to SmackDown. Do 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 do. Okay. Alexa Bliss to Raw.
That's what I need. I need that song. I can remember it now. The
you
women's
need,
tournament.
You need the show tunes and all of this. Okay.
Yeah. Right. Right. Right.
So do you have any other? Oh, okay. Go for it.
I was going to say, Falco brought up the women's tournament could really change things as well this summer. Who knows what's going to happen with all of that? Because it does seem like the women that are on the main roster are going to be involved in that as well.
It does?
I thought so.
No.
Some of the women.
I don't think so. Maybe women in NXT.
Okay.
I don't think the women from the main roster are going to be part of it.
None of them? Okay. I misread the signs.
I don't think so. Maybe I'm wrong. So, I mean, hey, you know, they're going to be doing a UK show coming up here. So,
oh yeah.
More programming coming up. So, one last thing. So, do you have any other ideas for guys that could be switching brands?
I still think Sami Zayn. They talk about Sami Zayn not necessarily wanting to switch brands. He would be a good fit over on SmackDown. I don't know. New Day's going to stay. Dean Ambrose might would benefit from a change of pace now that he is no longer your Intercontinental Champion.
But if they did that, they'd have to switch the U.S. Champion, which is Owens.
Dean Ambrose lost this week.
But he lost in a non-title match.
Oh, that's right. It was a non-title match.
The details, my friend, the details.
I'm not with it. I'm still jet lagged from Orlando. It's
apparently
not my fault.
Apparently. And by the way, Francis, I know you keep saying put Cesaro on SmackDown. They're not going to break up Cesaro and Sheamus, especially after the reaction that they got on Monday. Or if they did, I think that would be foolish.
You said that wrong. They're not going to break up Sheamus and Cesaro. Do-do-do-do-do.
Sheamus and Cesaro. With NXT, so now they have a new player, which is a former player, which is Drew McIntyre. So Drew is there. He was at the NXT tapings. He actually did a couple of matches. I think they're going to be building to a pretty obvious big match in Drew McIntyre against Bobby Roode. But they are doing an extra takeover this year, at least one extra, and they're going to be doing that on May 20th. Normally, they do the NXT takeover events in conjunction with big WWE shows, like the Big Four. They are doing one before Payback. And Drew's not going to be challenging for the title there. I would not be surprised, though, if we saw McIntyre against Roode maybe the night before SummerSlam in August.
I think that's a good fit for that spot. That's going to be, they're doing this takeover event in May, but the big takeover spot coming up is going to be the night before SummerSlam in Brooklyn. NXT Brooklyn Takeover 3, of course, but that's going to be a fantastic feud. Galloway versus Roode.
Should I give away what the match is going to be at Takeover Chicago on May?
Although I should say it's actually McIntyre versus Roode now that we're back in the WWE fold.
Yes.
But please spoil it for all of us, Brad.
Yes,
you're good at
I'm
that.
I'm going to spoil it. I'm sorry. So Bobby Roode will be defending his NXT World Championship against Hideo Itami.
Ooh.
Itami is next in line when it comes to the feuds there.
And I think Bobby Roode's going to retain it. That seems like the ongoing prediction.
I think so. Bobby is, you will see, is talking up how long he believes his tenure will be as the NXT champion. So, yeah. But this makes sense right now. And then they could build to, once they get Drew back in there for a little while, they will do more with him. You want me to give a couple other bold predictions when it comes to NXT?
Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
You mentioned Itami. Itami has been a guy that people were expecting to maybe come back Saturday night. He did not.
He's been back, but he hasn't been doing that much lately. Been back.
Yeah, well, I just meant they expected him to maybe make a debut on the card Saturday night at TakeOver, which he did not do. So,
Itami has been there. I mean, he made a debut last year.
What I'm saying, you know what, Brian Fritz, you are on my last nerve today. You are just pestering me because you can, and you know that I need more beer because I'm out.
Do you want me to sing a Deo Itami with Shinsuke's music? Like, Hideo, Hideo.
We're losing viewers by the second. It's going down. It's dropping by the second. And I just wanted to make the point that it did feel like there for a while Itami was the next major player in NXT.
Yes, he was.
And I feel like that step has gone back a ways.
Yeah, it definitely has. I mean, the injuries that he had. I mean, remember, he was sidelined for 16 months with a shoulder injury.
Right.
Arm, he still has atrophy in his arm. He came back. He suffered a neck injury that put him, on the sidelines for like another month or two. So he's now back, and they're going to put him in this position. They're going to put him against Bobby, and we'll see exactly, how good he's going to be. He was off to a slow start when he joined NXT, and they felt like they weren't getting the Kenta that we saw over in Japan. And for whatever reason, it just wasn't clicking, but it was starting to, and then he got injured. So we'll see. I hope he's doing well, but I just want him to stay healthy at this point, and see if he can get his career back on track, because it's been 2 years since we've really seen him at an elite level, I think.
Yeah, and he's a talent. He's going to go places if he can stay there. I think they still have faith in him. WWE does. We'll see where he goes from here. Galloway capturing, I should say again, McIntyre. I got to get used to this. This is weird for me. McIntyre capturing the championship at TakeOver Brooklyn would be a really special moment, would be a great send-off for Bobby Roode, but more importantly, would be a great way to cement McIntyre with his new position in the company.
Yeah, and I think that, and I'm just guessing here, I am thinking that right around WrestleMania next year, by that point, no later than that point, maybe even before, I think we see both Drew McIntyre and Bobby Roode on the main roster.
Yeah, yeah.
So do you want some other bold predictions for NXT?
Let's do it. Let's do it.
Do you have any bold predictions for what is to come in the next few months for NXT?
No, because I've been predicting things that have already happened that I've been wrong. So let me not make bold predictions that might still be wrong.
I am going to predict that as fans watch NXT TakeOver on May 20th from the Allstate Arena in Chicago, and people are watching on the WWE Network, that at some point in the show, the camera is going to pan to somebody sitting in the front row, And that somebody will be Adam Cole.
Okay.
So I think I think that's when Adam Cole comes in. Now, there's been a lot of talk about Kyle O'Reilly. I think he's NXT bound. I don't know if we see him at the next NXT tapings, which is in a few weeks, if we see him at TakeOver or soon thereafter. I think that he will be in NXT no later than mid-June, if not sooner than then. But I think within the next couple of months, we're going to see both Cole and O'Reilly debut for NXT.
Wow. Those are pretty bold predictions.
The Adam Cole one, man. I'm telling you, man. I can feel that. I can just feel it.
And you can sense it.
And quite honestly, I do not know anything. Nobody has told me anything. Hey, I'm not somebody that sits there and calls people up all day going, give me some hot scoops, man, that I can report on my podcast. I'm not doing that.
Are you making fun of anybody in particular here? Is this a riff on
I'm making
some other
fun
dirt
of myself
sheets?
Making fun of other people when they don't even talk like that.
Basically. I feel like you're calling out other websites on the internet. Was that a Dave Meltzer reference? Are you making fun of Dave Meltzer right now?
There is a guy who's got hot news on this GeoCities website that's really pissing me off lately. So it was kind of an ode to him, I guess.
I still have a GeoCities website. Is this a passive-aggressive reference to my GeoCities website?
His site is called Hot News with a Z. Hot News.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's the same Z the Hardy Boys use.
And the Dudleys as well. Let's get to some questions. You could ask it on the Twitter. It's using the hashtag AskBTR. We have our Facebook page as well. It's facebook.com/betweentheropes. You can leave questions there. And you can also email them to us. It's btrmailbag@gmail.com.
Frequent contributor Jeremy Lund writes in with two questions. First question, we know who McMahon wants, but who would you put in the Cena role as the top guy and face of the company for the next 10 years?
For the next 10 years?
Yes, he's basically saying, we know Roman Reigns is the guy, but if you had a choice, Brian, who would the guy be in WWE for the next long term? Not, I mean, AJ Styles, right, but maybe 10 years is too long for Styles. Who is your guy for the next 10 years?
See, that's really tough because you're talking about 10 years. If you talked about 5 years, I think you opened up to a bunch of different possibilities. Once you get to 10, you're talking about some age things because like Finn and Shinsuke are in their upper 30s. AJ is 39, 40. So I don't know why I would put those guys. I guess if you talk about age, Kevin Owens or Seth Rollins, I guess, would have to be, you know, in that conversation.
Yeah, I'd say if you had one star you wanted to prop up for the next, I'm going to say 5 to 10 years, Seth Rollins is over. And it makes a whole lot of sense to keep him in that position.
But can you get him over to where you believe he's a top guy? Because they've had trouble even with people really embracing him as a babyface. I mean, it just feels like just now it's starting to really happen.
Sure. I think you could. I think it's going to be a struggle. But it's also a struggle with Roman Reigns. And they continue to push that envelope. So I think Seth Rollins has the potential to be the guy. I think he has the potential to own the company in a way. He's very dynamic. He's great mic skills, great in-ring worker. People have criticized the match from Sunday night. But I don't know. I have faith in Seth Rollins. So what are some other names, though?
Well, I mean, like I said, if you take out the age restrictions, you know, Shinsuke, Finn, AJ Styles are all there. Trying to think. I mean, Cesaro. But they've never really given him, you know, the baton. And you know, I don't think they're going to do it for Sami Zayn.
I'm thinking about who could be the guy that goes and shows up to Make-A-Wish signings, like The Rock or Stone Cold or John Cena. Who is that level of guy that we have in the company today?
That's one of the problems that they have right now. Mm. I mean, is that guy really Roman Reigns? I mean, even from that, I'm sure there's a lot of kids that love Roman, and rightfully so. Sami Zayn is somebody that the kids love as well, but I don't know if he's somebody that the company looks at and says, oh, yeah, you know, we're going to put Sami Zayn as our super top guy.
Tough question. There's a lot of talent on both of these brands.
Right.
I don't know who your main talent is. And no disrespect to Kevin Owens, but I don't see him as being that baby face the company goes to with PR, Saturday Night Live shows, things like that.
Well, maybe that's where The Miz comes into play.
The Miz is a company guy. Jeremy also writes in, non-wrestling question, beef or pork?
And my response to that on Twitter was yes.
Yes, beef. It gives you colon cancer, but it's mighty delicious.
I'd probably say beef as well, just a hedge over pork.
Hashtag AskBTR. What was it like, Nick writes in, what was it like staying at Casa de Fritz for a whole week? Anything weird happen?
Can we get this right? It's not Casa de Fritz. It's the Fritzodome.
The Fritzodome. Nothing weird happened. The heat in your office is a little bit intense during the day.
The air conditioning does not work as well in the office. In fact, when we taped our podcast the other day, I sat in a chair in the office and you laid on the bed.
Yes, that was a little bit weird. I kind of laid out.
It was bedtime stories version of the BTR podcast.
Glamour shot style. I had the glamour shots like...
And now like Rick Rude's son.
Like Rick Rude's son. Nothing too weird happened. Your dog was awesome as always.
Mm-hmm.
You had lots of water for us, so there was plenty of water.
Yes, I did.
My face wash exploded, but that was the flight. That was
your problem, not mine.
We
have a shower that makes a horrific noise when you first turn it on.
Your shower is weird. It's hard. Like, your shower is one of those things where I was like, did I get it on? I turn it back off, turn it back on, and it makes this really terrible noise where I think the pipes are going to burst through the wall.
You know?
Yeah. That was kind of weird.
We had some
good Chinese food. I don't know. It was nothing too bad.
Yeah.
Cut a lot of videos.
We did.
Felipe, our good friend Felipe writes in. He left it on Facebook as well, but he wants to write in hashtag SBTR. Do you think, apparently he's coming to New Orleans next year. Excited to see you again, Felipe.
Oh.
Do you think WWE makes Lesnar Roman before WrestleMania?
No. I think they find a way to hold it off.
I think they do. I think they do it at SummerSlam.
SummerSlam, yeah. You know what? You want to guess a SummerSlam lineup right now?
No.
Okay, let's do this. After the Superstar Shakeup next week, on next week's podcast, we're going to guess the lineup for SummerSlam.
That's good. I like it. Predicting SummerSlam. That's going to be the title of our show.
By the way, Pedro is online right now going, there needs to be more Pedro.
Why is Pedro? James Serena.
That's Pedro. You gave away his alter ego.
Oh, that's, he did it. He was in the, you could be on the show sometime, Pedro. I don't know why you're not here at my house in North Carolina.
I thought he's at work right now.
watching us goof off here on the internet.
He's supposed to be editing the news for tonight. And instead he's watching us.
Priorities, baby. Priorities.
My goodness. James
Parsons writes in, what are the chances of getting King Corino as a special guest host? I think he means for this show.
I would love
to. He wants to replace me.
Well, who doesn't? I would love to get King Corino, but I would have to get approval from his bosses because he is now a WWE employee. Doesn't mean it's not going to happen. It just means before I didn't have to ask for approval except for Steve. And now I have to ask for approval. But you never know. Steve lives here in Orlando now.
Yep. He also writes in, what do you see? Who do you see leaving Impact Wrestling next? Everybody. Whole roster gone.
Well, we just saw Aaron Rux just left. He's gone.
Do you think that Jeff Jarrett's going to leave anytime soon?
No. He's running the damn thing. Of course he's not.
Oh, Lord. Well, I skipped this one, too. Nick also wanted to know, if Taker isn't in a match next year, Nick is still on this train that he thinks Taker's going to come back for a match. But Nick said, if Taker isn't in a match next year, does he headline the Hall of Fame?
Maybe. And the only reason I say maybe, I think that he waits. But the reason I say maybe is because his first ever loss at WrestleMania was in New Orleans.
Well.
So maybe it would make sense to have him go into the Hall of Fame then. Now, I tend to think he will wait just because we want out of sight, out of mind a little bit more when it comes to The Undertaker and that character. Remember, this is a guy, like we said before, that doesn't break character when it comes to his role in WWE television, the Hall of Fame. Now he's at autograph signings and stuff like that. He talks to fans. He's not in character. Okay. But he's not going to do it on WWE television. I mean, this would be a really big deal for him to do this. You know, Remember a couple of years ago when they were talking about Austin being on the, or Austin was doing the podcast?
Yeah.
On the network. And they said, oh, guest coming up here, The Undertaker. And we're all like, oh my God, they're going to, The Undertaker's going to break character. And they never did it. I mean, I still wonder if they would do that. I don't know what the relationship is right now with Steve Austin, because obviously he hasn't done a podcast on the network since they did the one with Dean Ambrose. But that would be something that I would wonder if maybe that's how they break the ice, because Taker and Austin get along very well. And that would be a very interesting conversation, and then that could lead to the Hall of Fame.
If it's not going to be Taker, I think your other close contender could be Goldberg after his retirement speech this past Monday.
You could have
makes a lot of sense for him.
Yeah, The Rock could, but it's New Orleans, so I don't know if that's the right fit city-wise. Maybe, maybe not. But I mean, The Rock still has to go in.
Does The Rock go into the celebrity wing?
He
or the
goes
actual...
into every wing that they have. I don't know. And it's not going to happen next year, I don't think. But, you know, within the next 5 years, I mean, we still have to put Triple H in.
Yeah. I think he's got to hang up the tights a little bit more than he does right now.
Well, he hasn't hung them up yet. So, yeah. But, I mean, they've got some really big names to still go in as headliners. And I think the lesson that they learned off this year is less is more. Not only from the length of the Hall of Fame, but they can go with fewer people going in. I mean, if you have if you have a headliner, you have a tag team, you have a female, you have maybe like somebody that's a manager, something like that. And then there's going to be somebody else as well. I mean, so like, if you did that's five right there, plus the Warrior Award, that would make six. I think that would work out pretty good.
Hall of Fame should be 2.5 hours long. Red carpet at 7:30. Main show starts at 8. Run over to 10:15 and you're good.
I've always been an advocate of, hey, it's their moment. Let them have the time. But this year changed my mind on that. maybe it should be have their time if you're the headline act because you're a massive star in the company. And everybody else, it's like, you get 20 minutes?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think one of the things they really need to cut down too are the induction speeches. I think those need to be like 5 minutes.
Yes, because there's no sense.
I don't want them running down this person's entire career and then the person coming out and running down their entire career.
Right. They get in there, tell a quick story, and turn it over to the actual inductee. That makes no sense.
Absolutely.
One more question. Actually, no, just not a question. Unhappy John Candy writes in, as he does sometimes, and making fun of me for being an alcoholic and saying that I spend too much time drinking beer and playing Nintendo Switch. So, yeah, there you go. Let's make fun of me for drinking too much beer. Going to the mailbag, btrmailbag@gmail.com. Hey, Francis wrote in. What do you know?
What do you know?
When Michael met The Miz, what was it like to meet one of your idols?
Oh, my God.
Did you get a signed copy of the Marine 5? Let me tell you, Francis. It was, in a word, awesome to meet not one of, but my only idol. You can tell from my interview that I was a composed, cool, and conducted interviewer. And The Miz was a charming, a delightful, and his wife and two, of course, but mostly The Miz, a delightful, handsome interviewee. And we had great chemistry. In fact, I got his number afterwards. We might start our own podcast, Mike and Mike, The Miz and Mike. We're working out names.
I was going to say, I think Mike and Mike is already taken.
Well, you know, we might do The Miz and Mike, The Awesome Cast, something like that. But we're going to follow up on that. And did you get a signed copy of The Marine 5? I did not. I don't think it's out on Blu-ray and DVD yet, or I haven't watched it yet. I'm just kidding. I went to the midnight release of it. So, but I can only imagine
the next time I talk to Miz, I'd be like, hey, so I'm the guy that was standing with that psychopath that accosted you at Radio Row this year, and you'll know exactly who I'm talking about.
Oh my gosh, it's beautiful. That interview was a work of art. It was a work of art. Got a number of questions. Is Roman Reigns now the guy? No. Will you be rocking WWE Puma trainers when they come out? No, because they are very expensive. What are you looking forward to the new Total season of Total Divas? I'm looking forward to seeing myself and Brian Fritz on that show this year.
That's true. We're going to be, I think we're going to be on Total Divas this year.
Yes.
So they were filming us as we talked to one Nikki Bella, the charming and delightful Nikki Bella, who's now engaged. But they were filming that. So I think we are going to make it on the Total Divas this year.
yeah, it was really a bizarre moment when these boom mics and backup cameras bumped in here. Francis, you gave us some more good questions. We're going to save those for another day. I want to get over to Facebook. A couple of hard-hitting questions.
By the way, we owe an apology to Pedro. Pedro is on vacation, so he's not editing the news, so it's perfectly proper for him to be watching us right now because the Pedro vacation continues.
He spent his vacation watching wrestling, which is fantastic, and making it out of Mania well before we did. We got stuck trying to grab an Uber and not being able to, and Pedro was home in record time.
Jeez,
so.
Man, Pedro, what a trooper, man. That dude, when he went to Mania, he went to Raw, he went to SmackDown, he was sitting with us the entire time, so that was a lot of fun.
I have a question for you about next year in New Orleans and Mania. How hot is it going to be compared to Orlando?
Almost as hot.
Damn
not
it.
As hot, but
darn
almost.
It. Darn it. Not damn it. I did not say damn it on the air. Darn it.
Yeah, you did.
I did not.
Yeah, you did.
Darn it.
I love going to New Orleans, though. New Orleans is a lot of fun.
You love the beads? Do you flash everybody?
No, I do not. The cool thing about New Orleans is everything is in a pretty concise area when it comes to the convention center, the Superdome, and where they do Raw and all that. So, like, the Smoothie King Center, which is their arena, where they will do the Hall of Fame and Raw and SmackDown and everything.
That's a terrible name.
Vince McMahon refuses to call it the Smoothie King Center because he doesn't like that.
Swipe left.
Just
swipe
like this
left,
year, bah. If you notice WWE, they refuse to call Camping World Stadium that and instead refer to it by old name, the Citrus Bowl. He did. So, like right next door, those two buildings, the Superdome and Smoothie King Center, are right next door to each other. And then right around the corner, go down just a little ways. Boom, there's the convention center. So everything is very, very convenient when it comes to those buildings.
Yep. Couple other questions here on the Facebook machine. Rob Dawson writes in, how do you think Nakamura will do on the main roster? If he stays on SmackDown, do you think WWE will see him as WWE title potential anytime soon? I loved his main roster debut so much.
I think so because the reaction that he got, they know that he is a big star talent. I'm sure they had to pay for him to get him to come over in the first place. And they'll probably have to pay him even more now that he's on the main roster. I mean, they expect him to be, you know, a top talent, you know, a world champion. And he's got the reaction for it, and they're going to continue to book him like that, I'm sure.
I think that he has the potential. I think he has the potential more on SmackDown than Raw. But I would have said the same thing about Kevin Owens or Finn Balor a year ago as well. And you see where those both guys ended up being the headliners of that brand. So I think he could be anywhere with the championship, Raw or SmackDown. I think the SmackDown writing team will know what to better do with him and how to better book him. But I think WWE has faith in him. And he's something different for that brand and that show, both shows, that company, really. I missed a question on our mailbag. Christian Fox, you'll remember, wrote in a few weeks ago to complain a little bit about the Orton versus Wyatt feud and the way it culminated. He's still kind of at a tizzy about the way they booked that whole thing. But he did ask us a really good question here. How was Seth Rollins cleared to wrestle on Monday? Did we not have this huge deal
Don't
being made
you
about
talk
how was-
about those damn details? I mean, come on. I mean, I know that the doctor said he shouldn't even have to. He shouldn't have wrestled on Sunday, and he had to sign a waiver to be a part of that match. But you know, when you get a win at WrestleMania, your body just goes through this miraculous recovery. You know, it's amazing the things that happen with adrenaline that go through your body, and the way that it can, you know, correct different issues that you have. So yeah. You know, who cares? I mean, if you screw yourself up, you know, on Raw or SmackDown, nobody gives a rip. But you know what? We only care going into WrestleMania.
I mean, the poor guy was running a fever of 103. That's not just a line from a song. He was literally running a fever
he
of 103
really was.
On Sunday.
That's the crazy. Well, not even. It wasn't on Sunday, but like in the days prior. I mean, he was sick for like the week leading up to WrestleMania, right, where he was really worried about what was going to happen. And luckily, he was good enough to they could go out there for the ring. Like, he wasn't training and different things, and he was really ticked about the whole situation.
Christian also wrote in and said, sour notes aside, thanks for all your coverage of WrestleMania. I love Michael interviewing The Miz. And then he says, keep up the above average work. So there's a backhanded compliment for you. Above average, Fritzy. We're above average.
So we're just like Mike Sanders. We're above average.
Yes, above average. Last question of the day because we got to get out of here. Evan Myers writes in, pancakes versus waffles.
Oh, pancakes.
Waffles. What? Pancakes.
Pancakes.
Pancakes are too much work. I can literally pull a waffle out of the freezer any morning of the week.
There was nothing about cooking them. It was about what do you prefer to eat?
It's an open-ended question. We get to answer this however we want to, and you're wrong, because waffles are so much more convenient than pancakes.
I had some fantastic pancakes with you on, was it Sunday morning?
Yes, it was. I had some dreamy French toast. It was bananas, caramel nut. Oh, man. Mm.
That was a good place that we went to. Mm. I told you, man, that was a nice little WrestleMania morning treat.
It was perfect. It was a perfect way to an amazing WrestleMania day. Reminder, if you do have those questions between now and next week, if we didn't answer it this week, you had one for us, send it in again. Hashtag AskBTR on Twitter. That is facebook.com/betweentheropes. We always put up a questions page. Or please send them to us at our email address, btrmailbag@gmail.com. We'll be waiting for you.
Hope everybody enjoyed this little special live edition of the Between the Ropes podcast. Please subscribe to us here on YouTube. Just click on that subscribe button. You can also always find it if you're not watching live. You can go to youtube.com/Between the Ropes. Subscribe there. Watch all the different videos that we have from our WrestleMania coverage. This awesome video that Mike put together with our view of WWE Access, including a lot of interviews with a lot of people that were there in the building when it came to fans and everything. It was a really fun video that we did there. So check that out. Subscribe to the podcast as always. And please rate us and review us. That helps us out tremendously. You can find us, of course, on iTunes. That's the most important one, quite honestly, where you can rate us. But we're also on Stitcher. We're on Google Play. We're on the TuneIn app. And we're also on SoundCloud. So please do that. And also, please support us on Patreon as well. It's patreon.com/betweentheropes. And we're going to be adding some different things to that page as well. We'll have those tiers set up here in the near future for some goodies for everybody that supports us. Thanks again for listening for the podcast. We had a fun week with When It Comes to WrestleMania. Hope you enjoyed all the coverage that we had here. And we will be back next week. So keep it tuned right here. We'll talk to you next time. Between the Ropes.